Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and experienced and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing multifamily property management. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Ed Buckley, Vice President of Operations with Avenue 5 Residential. Welcome, Ed.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. I was excited when you suggested this topic idea about property management and multifamily being a marathon, not a sprint. And I know it's got kind of a secondary meaning to you. You come from a different perspective because you're a runner and you actually run marathons. So I'm sure you're trying to draw on that experience of how you've trained and so forth to be able to apply that to property management. Give us just a little bit of background on that, and then we'll delve into property management itself.
Yeah, sure. So I've been a runner for probably 30 years. I've been in property management about the same amount of time. When you're a runner, you spend a lot of time sort of alone in your thoughts. And so I think about work a lot while I'm running, and especially, in training for the longer runs, you're out there for a long time. I'm not a fast runner, Paul. So when I go for a long distance, it takes me a while. So I have a lot of time to think. But I started to hatch this idea in my head about, because I would always think about, what do I have to do today for work? What are my properties? What are their challenges? What are the issues that I have to follow up on today or, try and solve today? And it got in my head as over the years I've taken over, tens of maybe 100 properties. Each one of them has its own set of issues. Some of them you take over and they're running fine, and you just kind of have to get to know the property. And some of them that you take over because there's some serious issues. Especially in third party management, if you're getting a property from an owner, they probably didn't pull it from the previous management company because it was running well. It probably has some issues that have to be tackled. As I was thinking about the two aspects of my life, my work life and my personal life with my running, I started to think about the concept of, well, geez, when you take over properties, when you're running properties, you're going to run into problems. And some problems you can fix pretty quickly. A lot of them, take a little bit of time to, especially to turn a property around if it's got a lot of problems. And I likened it to if I was training for a race, if I was training for a marathon. Well, I couldn't just wake up the day before the marathon and say, hey, I think I'm going to run that marathon today. It takes months of training and dedication to, to get to that first point. When you sort of toe the line at the beginning of a marathon, the hay is already in the barn, so to speak. You've already done the work. It's just a matter of showing up and doing it. And as I've taken over properties in my career that have had significant issues, I realized that, you can't go in there on the first day and solve all the problems. You have to go in there and sort of assess the situation and develop a plan for moving forward.
Yeah, and that all makes sense. I actually have a sister who is a marathon runner, and I mean the training that she does is it just kind of blows my mind how dedicated you have to be able to show up the day of the marathon and be able to finish it. And she's I think at an age now where she's been doing it for 30 some odd years, maybe more. And you know, she doesn't care about time. She just wants to finish. that's kind of the way it is for her now.
Yeah, that's kind of right where I've always been. I didn't run my first marathon until I was 45. Mm-hmm. I ran my last one, which was New York. I've run Atlanta, Boston, and New York, three marathons. I ran New York a week before my 60th birthday.
Wow.
I always say I'm in the old fat guy category in the back. But it does, you know, like I said, it takes time and it takes dedication, and you have to have a plan. You have to start off with, you know, with a nutrition plan. You have to start off with a training plan. How are you going to build your miles from the beginning and, you know, 2-3 weeks before the marathon, where you sort of top out on your longest run miles and taper down until marathon day. So and property management is a lot like that. You always have to have a plan for your property. You know, some refer to the budget. Others have operating plans, but you have to have a game plan in place to get to the finish line. And a marathon it's the same way with managing a property.
You know, Ed, in this age of instant gratification, where everybody wants everything right now, i.e. the sprint that's in the title of our topic, how do you, especially in third party management, how do you temper the expectations of your owners who are looking for instant results? You know, they have issues on a property. They bring in somebody. How do you temper those expectations so that they're on board with the marathon versus the sprint?
Yeah, well, I think that you have to set expectations with them too. Yeah, they want their property to improve. That's why they brought you in, and it's a matter of that plan. You know, when you set out to run a marathon, the day I start training, I know what my plan is all the way up until marathon day. I know how many miles I'm going to run each week and each day. And I think if you set that plan in place with them, and I always explain it to them the exact same way, you know, there's no silver bullet here. We're going to start making the right decisions here right on day one. And you're going to start to see improvement. You're going to start to see improvement pretty quickly. We may not get to the finish line for a while, but you're going to start to see immediate improvement.
And what, and like when you, and we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but what do you look at first when you come to a property, whether it's got issues or it's a well-run property that you're taking over, what is it that you look for first to start putting together that plan?
The thing that I always look at first, and I think that, you know, it what kind of gets the owner on board is the financials. Typically, when you take over a property that struggled, the financials are a mess. You know, the income isn't where it wants to be for sure, but whether that be occupancy or pricing, but typically the expenses are a mess and bills aren't getting paid and that kind of thing. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, you can show the owner, you know, pretty quickly that, look, we're going to pay our bills. When you look at the financials, I want you to have confidence that this is exactly the way your property's running and not have to wonder, okay, well, it looks like I have this much money in NOI this month, but I don't know if there's not you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of bills out there that haven't been paid that are going to hit me next month. I think that, you know, to gain their confidence, if you can show them that you can get the financials under control right away, you know, whether they'd be good or bad, that they're accurate, then you can start to improve from there, and they'll start to gain confidence that you know what you're doing at that property.
All right. Well, that's a great way to end this segment. We're going to take a short break and be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily property management. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Ed Buckley, Vice President of Operations with Avenue 5 Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Ed, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about when you're planning this marathon of property management, one of the first things that you do is you look at the financial statements, want to make sure everything is accurate, you want to get some confidence from your owners that you're providing them with accurate and good information. But one of the major things I think that you have when you take over a property is many times you have existing staff there, whether it's in the management office, leasing personnel, or maintenance team. I'm sure there's a process you have to go through to try and understand, are they a good fit? Do they share the same goals, and are they long-term marathoners to run with you?
Yes, absolutely. I think you know, two things that I'd like to cover here is definitely staffing. I took over a property just about when I joined Avenue 5, one of the first properties that I was kind of pointed to was a property in Maryland that was really struggling. The property didn't have a manager at the time. The manager had quit between the time I was hired and the time I actually started. And as I looked at that property, and this property was really struggling in almost every phase of operations, financially, delinquency, resident satisfaction, you name it. And as I learned more about the property, I found out that in the past year, and the year previous to me joining, the property had 4 different property managers. And an absolute recipe for disaster, right? There was no continuity. There was an assistant manager who had been there. There was no leasing person, and there was a full maintenance staff. So definitely staffing not only does it affect the performance of the property, if you have a high turnover, especially at that property manager position, you can't expect to have a consistent performance for the property. So really the first thing I had to do was, you know, jump in there myself and, you know, be an acting manager for a while and then find a property manager who could who had the credentials and would be able to take over the property and stay there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely critical to be able to have that consistency. And one of the challenges, at least, you know, from the guests that we've had on the show, especially in it seems like the last 6 months, you know, there's a difficulty in finding qualified people for different positions, especially maintenance positions, it seems, is a hard one. Have you come across that in your markets?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had a property that had an open maintenance supervisor position for months, and we just couldn't fill it. And it is very difficult. But you know, I don't know that that's a new thing. It may have gotten a little bit worse, but I, you know, for several years, we've always had trouble, you know, keeping maintenance folks, especially techs, who, you know, will move to the property down the road for 50 cents more an hour. And then trying to find good qualified, maintenance supervisors, because we're able to find them now, a little bit easier, but the salaries have really gone up.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to convince the owner that, you know, you now have to pay a maintenance supervisor a lot of money, especially if they're good.
And when it comes to your property manager, for instance, what are the secrets that you've used to successfully recruit and find good property managers?
Well, you know, I sort of have the luxury and the curse of being old, Paul. And
me too.
And so I have a lot of connections. I have a very large network, and I get a lot. I can count on some referrals. Now, you know, I will say that most of my time has been in the Atlanta market. So when I was stuck up in Maryland and looking for a property manager, I sort of had to really do some networking and try to find people that were, you know, recommended by people who I knew and trusted. That's still the best way to get the right person in my opinion.
Yeah, and are you seeing that in those positions as well as the maintenance positions, that there is a higher pay scale these days as opposed to what happened, you know, what the situation was maybe 18 months ago?
Yeah, and especially in the DC market, you know, being in the Atlanta market for so long, and I'd managed some in Florida and Alabama and the Carolinas, you know, there was a fair amount of sticker shock when I got to the DC market and found out the salaries that, you know, to get a good property manager, to get a good maintenance supervisor in that market, it's going to be steep.
Yeah, yeah. And that brings up a good point. And we got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment. But that brings up a good point. You know, because you have a portfolio of properties over, you know, many different geographical markets, how does your plan change, or does it change your marathon plan when you take over a property based on geography, based on where the asset is located?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still sort of stand by the fact that there's no magic wands in this industry. You have to, you know, properties have issues. You have to, you know, doing the right thing isn't geographical. It's not, you know, once you get in and start making the right decisions and doing the right things, you know, things will always improve. And, you know, that's just something that I've always, it has always worked for me, and I sort of live by.
Yeah, and I do think it's you know, there are little, finesse points about different geographic markets that you have to learn as you take over properties in there, like you were talking about with the sticker shock of what a salary of property managers in a market versus other markets that you've been working in. But in a sense, it's not a cookie cutter situation, but you have to approach it, I would imagine, in the same way. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no, multifamily properties are like fingerprints. No two are the same. Mm-hmm. So you can't, I don't want to say I go in with the same, the same plan as I would, for any two properties, but you have to go in and evaluate the property and then set the plan and find out what the real issues are and how you're going to tackle them one by one.
And when it comes to like the story you told about the property you took over and they didn't have a consistent manager. There was assistant manager there, but there was no leasing mm-hmm. personnel. You know, leasing is the lifeblood of a property. How do you approach that off the bat when you've got nobody in that position? And we got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky enough to, we had posted the position and then we had somebody from another property in our market that wanted to change over. And that's always, that's always a great way to do it because they come in, they already knew Avenue 5. They already knew the policies and the leasing procedures. So that's always the best way to do it. That's how we actually filled that position at that property.
And do you find that you've got different in your different markets, your Floridas all the way up to Washington, D.C., and Maryland area, do you find that you've got a different type of resident geographically that you have to do? I know obviously properties from the standpoint of student, affordable, conventional, that all changes, but just by geographics, have you noticed a difference in residents?
And I don't know if it's geographical, but this property that I'm talking about in Maryland, it's a funny situation. It's a quick story, and I don't know how we're doing on time, but I'll try to finish it. But so this property had been obviously in chaos, and the residents all knew that there was, chaos in the office. They'd been turning over property managers, and there was one resident who sort of had self-proclaimed herself as the mayor. And you'll run in to that kind of situation when there's a void in leadership in the office. Somebody mm-hmm. Somebody will step into that void, and it happened to be this resident. So she declared herself the mayor, and she would weigh in on just about everything that had to do with the property. She was a problem for the managers who would come in there because she would say, well, I've been here longer than you have, and I know this and that. And what I told the property manager who started – and I told the whole staff was, she has power because there's problems, there's issues, there's chaos in the office. When that kind of thing goes away, then she won't have the power anymore, and so will she. And that's exactly what happened. As the property stabilized, as the staff stabilized, as the property looked better and operated better, she just didn't have anything to complain about anymore. So eventually she just happened to, move out, but she didn't have the power. We gave her the power because of the chaos. When that went away, she didn't have the power anymore.
Wow. That's a great story and a great lesson. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to come back with our third segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of multifamily property management. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Ed Buckley, Vice President of Operations with Avenue 5 Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that makes Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Ed, we've talked about staffing, we've talked about touch a little bit on resident issues, and we've talked about financing when you're running this marathon and you have your plan of when you come to a property, you take over a property. Talk a little bit about some of the maintenance issues, and obviously on properties that have issues, I would think that many times you're going to find a lot of deferred maintenance problems that are out there. Talk a little bit about that.
Almost for sure. If there's a property that's been without a property manager or struggling for some time, you're going to take over and run into some maintenance issues. And it's important to know exactly what they are. Some of them might be obvious. You might see them when you pull up to the property. You might be able to tell, oh boy, this property's, you can tell that the roof is bad, by driving up. You can look at the exterior of the property, and find out, look at the big items that might need to be taken care of. But I think as you look into it, an analysis of the work orders and what kind of work orders are coming in, and how long are they taking to be closed out, and how is that affecting the residents? I mentioned that, the residents, on properties like this, the residents usually have issues because they put in work orders and they don't get done. And so you got to really look into that and work with the maintenance supervisor, and make sure that they understand that, maybe the work orders are getting done. They're just not getting closed out in the property management software. Maybe they really aren't getting done. You have to kind of dig in and find out what's happening maintenance wise. Cause it's going to be difficult. If you're not taking care of the residents maintenance wise, you're not going to be able to keep residents there. They're not going to renew. So that's a really big one for me. Making sure that they understand that, they're a big part of the success of the property and getting renewals and that kind of thing. That's why on all of our Avenue 5 properties, we always include the maintenance team on the renewal bonuses. All of the renewal bonuses are split amongst the staff and the maintenance team as well. So they feel like they have a little skin in the game when it comes to getting renewals.
And that's a great idea. I mean, it, obviously one of the number one areas of concern for residents that would cause them not to renew is if the property's not being kept or their units are they're not getting the kind of response they need to any maintenance issues. So that, I think that's a great idea. And tell us a little bit about marketing and how that plays into the long-term plan.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that, you really have to get your arms around early on. When you're planning for the success of this property, you really have to take a look at where your marketing dollars are being spent and are you getting the return for those dollars. We're really blessed at Avenue 5. We've got a great marketing manager on the East Coast who we work with. But, Paul, you and I probably both remember the day when you just bought a page in a guidebook and you hoped for the best.
Right.
Those days are long gone now. It's all about keywords and digital marketing. And it's really helpful to have a strong marketing team that you can rely on that can, constantly analyze what's going on as far as the marketing sources that you use and are they successful and are you getting leases from them, not just empty leads, but actually putting leases, putting residents in apartments from this marketing source.
You know, you brought up something that is that I think that is important from the standpoint of that the internet and reputation management when it comes to properties. It's a lot different today than it was when you started and when I was started out in the industry. So my question to you is when you take over a property that's had issues, how do you go about fixing that reputation?
Yeah, I mean that's really something that's a marathon, right? Because mm-hmm. Once reviews are out there, they're out there. And the only way to improve that score is to start getting more positive reviews, right? Because the old ones aren't going to go away. The only way to improve your score is to get new reviews that are actually good reviews. We use Kingsley. So we have an opportunity to generate, positive reviews from our residents whenever we do a work order, whenever we have a tour, whenever we do a move-in. You know, we have an opportunity to get some positive feedback from our residents, and we do that. but that's something that you have to get the whole team pulling in the right direction on. I always tell the maintenance guys, every time I buy something now, or I take my car in for service, somebody says to me, "You're going to get a survey,"
yeah.
And we would really like to get a 5 on the survey or an excellent on the survey, and we would really appreciate you if you took time to do that survey. And I don't think there's any problem with having maintenance guys or who fulfill a work order or leasing people who do a tour. I don't think there's any problem with having them saying something like that to a resident or a prospect, so to generate more positive reviews.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and I wanted to ask you about technology. When you take over a property, maybe the previous company that was managing it or the previous owner had other technology in place. But technology has become such an important part of property management these days. And we've got about a minute and a half left. Give me your input on how you incorporate that into your plan.
Yeah, there's so much that of, technology now, as far as, the property management systems and how we manage our traffic and that kind of thing. There's so much of that. I think it's important from a property management, from my standpoint, from a regional manager, from a vice president standpoint, to really try to stay on top of what's happening in the industry technology-wise, because it changes every day. And, that's why I'm a big proponent of, apartment associations and where you can, get to know vendors and get demonstrations from vendors that are bringing in some new technology. It's very important today. I mean, you can't run these properties without the new technology, but you have to know, what really is a better mousetrap and what isn't.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And we're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic, multifamily property management. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Ed Buckley, Vice President of Operations with Avenue 5 Residential. Ed, we've talked about a lot of things in the first three segments, but the one thing that we really haven't touched on, which in multifamily property management for the last 18 months has been the big elephant in the room, and that is, how is multifamily operating during the pandemic, during COVID? I know you have some thoughts about that, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think it affected me because I live in Atlanta, and most of my properties are in the D.C. market. So when travel stopped happening, I started like everybody else, you know, working out of my basement and doing everything by phone. But I think just, you know, as it affected our industry in a number of ways, and some expected and some unexpected, I think. I think we knew that, you know, we were going to have a problem with delinquency. and some properties have had it much worse than others, something that, that you know, we've all had to deal with. People were, people lost their jobs and they couldn't pay their rent. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't, you know, we couldn't go through the eviction process. We couldn't even file on them. So those were some pretty big challenges that that we had to overcome. We had residents who were home all day, and you know, their dynamic was different. We did several things along those lines that we started to do. We couldn't do any resident events, but we started to, you know, just kind of send little packages to the residents' doors, you know, every couple of weeks, just to let them know that, you know, we knew that they were in there. And of course, all the offices were closed, and the maintenance guys looked like they were going into surgery every time they went in to fix a leak. But, you know, there was a lot of things that we had to do on site just to protect our employees. But, you know, the thing that impressed me the most about our industry's response to COVID was everybody pulled together. We, you know, we started to exchange ideas with each other, and it didn't matter, you know, what company you worked for. You know, a good idea was a good idea. And in the Atlanta market, one of the owners, Jamin Harkness, he started what we call the multifamily huddle. And we did it weekly, and it started off as about 30 people and ended up, we would have over 200 people on the call. And it was a weekly call, and we just exchanged ideas about, you know, what were you doing about this situation? What were you doing about that situation? And there were vendors involved, but it wasn't driven by the vendors. And we found out things like, you know, some of the property management companies on the call had bought these foggers. And you see them, you know, if you ever fly on an airplane, they use them on airplanes. And, you know, we were able to buy them for all of our properties and, you know, go around the property with this fogger. And not only did it disinfect things, you know, door handles and common areas of the property, but the resident, it made the residents feel much safer.
Sure.
That we were taking that extra step. So that's just, you know, one example, and there's probably 100 of things that we talked about on these calls. And like I said, from the Gray Stars of the world, you know, the Avenue Fives of the world, to small independent management companies, it was across the board. And and I was lucky enough to, you know, be a featured speaker on the call a couple of times. And we talked about everything from how are you handling delinquency, how are you managing the office? So, you know, we talked about, a lot of people went to like an A team and a B team in the office. But I say all that to say that we as an industry, regardless of the competition or that we have with each other, we all pulled together and helped each other get through, you know, what was a really rough year. And I was so impressed with that.
Now, that is impressive, and I've actually heard from some other guests we've had on the show that in other markets, the industry, even though they're in competition with each other, would pull together and have calls or Zoom calls to be able to discuss ideas. And that's a great thing. My wish would be that it would continue once the pandemic is in the rearview mirror, because we could learn so much from each other as an industry, as opposed to realizing we have healthy competition, but it's important to be able to bounce things off of people. I think that's my opinion. I did want to ask you though a question regarding, your whole premise of the marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Is based on the training and the planning and so forth. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something like this comes up, the pandemic, which throws all of, could possibly, I guess, throw all that out the window, that your plan, and or maybe the fact that you had all the planning in place, it helps you to get through it better. But it's got to be somewhat frustrating, from that standpoint, when you have a plan and then all of a sudden you've got this. And it's unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened before. We've got about 2 minutes before I want to transition to something. Give me your thoughts on that.
It definitely it changed so much in our industry, but it changed. But the basic things that we had to do on site still had to happen. And I think for me that kind of helped us all stay grounded. You know, we still had residents that we had to service. We still had work orders that needed to be done. We still had financial obligations that we had to meet for the owners. So we still had to focus on managing the property. It wasn't, we're not in a business that we could just close down and walk away from. So just like anything else, we had to develop a plan. And I know that Avenue 5, at the executive levels of Avenue 5, above me, there were calls, daily calls, about how we were going to handle COVID and how the properties were going to operate in that environment. So, I mean, we got through it, because this is a great industry with great people in it, but also we really didn't have a choice. We had buildings filled with residents who we had to continue to provide homes for. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what we do.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely correct. And I guess the other challenge, and we've got about 30, 40 seconds left before I want to transition, but the ultimate challenge, I guess, was the fact that every day it seemed like things were changing, as far as, you get some directives about how to do things, and then next thing you know, there's other directives. So it wasn't just coming up with a plan to deal with it. I would imagine it was, being light on your feet to be able to change as the knowledge changed about what to do.
Right, and that's why, corporate direction was very important. Keeping up with what was happening nationally and locally, so that we could, keep our employees, our associates informed, and make sure they knew, what decisions we were making and why.
All right, boy. We could talk about this topic for another segment at least, but I wanted to transition, since we're coming to the close of the show. Got about 3 minutes left. I wanted to find out. I always ask our guests, how did you get into the business? You and I are, I think, of similar age. So you've been doing it for quite a while. So how'd you get into the business? And then tell us a little bit about Avenue 5. And then also, if someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they reach you?
Sure. So I started in the business with Equity Residential. And I came in sort of a unique way. I was a systems developer. Not a developer, but an implementer with a company that I was working for, and got laid off and ended up with, at the time, Equity Residential was writing their own property management software. So I was hired by them to come in and help finish up the development of the software and then roll the software out through the whole company, which in my territory at that point was the East Coast. So we did that. And after that software was rolled out, you know, we really didn't have a need for my position anymore. So the equity said, well, we'd love to have you stay on. Have you ever thought about going into the management side? And I did. But I went from a corporate position, probably traveling 80% of the time, to managing a 300 unit property in Roswell, Georgia, called Martin's Landing. I wasn't too happy about it at the time, but I can tell you that throughout my career, I've always drawn on the things that I learned in a couple of years that I spent at Martin's Landing. Mm-hmm. Because I learned a lot about the business there, and actually I knew all the software and I'd done all the training of the people there, but actually being on site is something that, as my career progressed, I was always happy to have done. And I've been with Avenue 5 about 2 years now. Avenue 5, I always tell people, Avenue 5 is the biggest, best property management company that if you're on the East Coast, you've never heard of. We're sort of an outgrowth from the old Riverstone days.
Right.
Our owners were with Riverstone when they were bought by Graystar. And then they started up Avenue 5 a couple of years later with 6,500 units. And today, 6 years later, we sit at over 80,000 units under management, mostly on the West Coast. We've been on the East Coast for, I don't know, probably about 3 years now, maybe 4 years. Most of our properties are out West, which is why nobody's on the East Coast has heard of us. But we are growing in the D.C. market. We're in Charlotte now, and we'll be in Fort Myers by the end of the year, doing some lease ups. So it's a great company where we've got great support teams all the way up through accounting and integration, marketing and that kind of thing. So if anybody's looking for a management company, they can always reach out to me anywhere in the country, but especially in the East Coast.
Well, how do they find you? What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, the best way to reach me would probably be email, and my email is just ebuckley, B-U-C-K-L-E-Y, at the word avenue and the number 5.com.
Fantastic. Well, Ed, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're going to have you back on again. I think you got some great perspectives to bring to our listeners. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.